It's time for Central Iowa Today. Here's Ken Hugie.
And good afternoon to you. We welcome you to Central Iowa Today on News Talk 1230 KFJB AM and 93.9 FM. We are going to talk about a day in the life, and in this instance, a day in the life of a team member at Iowa River Hospice. We're happy to have with us today Connie Schutte, who is a registered nurse and also the education coordinator at Iowa River Hospice. It's good to have you on the radio with us.
It's good to be here.
Well, are you ready to tell us about everything that happens every minute of the day? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, goodness.
I'm just kidding. And I'm guessing that when it comes to a team member at Iowa River Hospice, how their day goes probably depends on the shift that they work. Is that a safe assumption?
That is a very safe assumption. And it also depends on if they are an outpatient team member or an inpatient. We have our hospice home, so things run a little differently in the hospice home for the staff members than it does on the outpatient side of things. So would you like me to just kind of give you an overview, starting with the inpatient team and how that kind of works up there?
Yeah, let's talk about the inpatient team to begin with. So, I would guess the proverbial come in and punch the clock, and then I imagine they just start going through a beginning of the day routine.
Yes, they do. We are lucky. We have 12-hour shifts here, so we have two shifts to coordinate with, and that begins their shift with a report from the previous shift, so they know everything that was happening with the patient during the night. And that can take a long time or it can take a little time, depending on how much happened during the previous shift, if there's been admissions. And then they kind of start their day. The nurses will assess the patient, look at what meds need to be passed, that we have wonderful hospice aides, and they're also up there attending to if the patient needs bathing, fixing the meals, assisting the patients if they need meals. And also we have visitors coming in, so both the nurses and the hospice aides, and sometimes we have some of our volunteers back that are greeting our visitors and kind of updating them on what's going on with their loved ones over the last 24 hours. We're very lucky also to have social workers and chaplains that are actively involved in both the inpatient and outpatient, and they'll schedule themselves a certain number of days a week on the inpatient to go in and check on any needs that the patient or the family may have from social worker chaplain. And then always you might have scheduled yourself to, as a chaplain, to visit on a Wednesday, but it's Monday and they have a need, and our chaplains are very good at just adjusting their schedule and going upstairs and seeing them on the run, so to speak. So we're very blessed that our aides, our nurses, our social workers, chaplains, volunteers, all work in tandem upstairs to provide the care not only to the patients but also to their loved ones that are coming in to see them.
Let me go back to the beginning of the day. You say you've got 12-hour shifts there. Mm-hmm. Is there much overlap between one team member going off duty and the other one coming on, or is that mainly covered in the notes and the paperwork and the chart information?
It's both. We have a little bit of they'll come in either around 6:30, 6:40, and kind of, get prepared, get their stuff together, and have some opportunity. And then depending on how the night shift went, so I'm just talking about the beginning of the day, they'll report off on anything that the nurse needs to know that's, kind of more important. You want to hit the highlights, and then they can read the notes. And then sometimes if they've had a busy night, they may have some charting to catch up on or some faxes to get out to the doctor's offices. So it's 7A to 7P or 7P to 7A, but there is definitely some time frames in there that you'll see the night shift here a little bit longer or the day shift on the night a little bit longer. Or if there's something going on with the patient, I know our staff upstairs, all the shifts have stayed late or come in early if there's a need. They've been very helpful to each other. We get a lot more patients or an admission. A night nurse might come in early to kind of help kind of get everything organized or stay late if things a patient has some great needs. So they really work well as a team upstairs and providing care to the patients and families, but also being a good team member to each other.
You know, I have a daughter who is an RN at a ICU hospital unit down in Arkansas, and she works those 12-hour shifts. Is that an advantage for either the team member or for the folks they're caring for, do you think?
I think it's dependent. I think some people like 12-hour shifts. If you've got small children, it may be you'd work 3 12-hour shifts a day or a week, so you have more days off. Some people don't like 12-hour shifts because they find the fatigue factor is great, or they can't find daycare that is suitable till 7 o'clock at night. So it just kind of, you know, that's the thing about, especially in healthcare, you might have 12-hour shifts or you might have another job that's an 8-hour shift. I'm old enough that when I started, there were no 12-hour shifts. It was all 8-hour shifts,
yeah.
And I appreciated that. I liked the 8 hours, but I know a lot of people prefer 12. So, you know, I think it works for most people, and for those that it doesn't work, then they find something that's an 8-hour shift, which is what our outpatients normally work, is 8-hour shifts in the outpatient side.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
They can look to that if that's a schedule they prefer.
So what about those who are going out to the homes and all of that? Do they automatically come in and check in first thing before they begin making their, for lack of a better term, rounds, or does it just depend?
No, we usually come in. Everyone tries to be here. We start our morning report at around 8 o'clock, and kind of we have call staff, so even though we might have our outpatient nurses home sleeping in their beds at night, we have 24-hour cover with an RN and an LPN covering any calls that might come in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
So beginning at 8 o'clock, they give a report on any phone calls they received, any visits that occurred during the night, so they can update the staff and on anything that happened during the night. And then we kind of go through our morning report, talking about, you know, if patients have any needs that the nurse needs help with, any clerical things that need caught up on. And report can take anywhere from 15 minutes. Mondays are always longer because we have the whole weekend to cover. So that's all the nurses start that way. Now, there are times where she might get a phone call at 7:30 from the on-call staff saying, hey, I got a call from a patient. They need you out there right now. So the nurse obviously will just drive straight to the patient's home or facility, and we'll catch them up on morning report when they come in.
I would imagine that, and again, I'm culling a little bit on my daughter's experience in an ICU unit, but you have different patients, different clients, different residents with different needs. Does that variety of adjusting to the different healthcare needs of the folks, is that something that attracts folks to hospice care?
I think so. I think that, and for a lot of us that came into hospice, it's knowing that we get to touch our patients, hold their hands, spend quality time getting to know them in their environment.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the hospice home, they're in our hospice home, but it is a very home-like environment. But it's really very helpful to the nurses to actually interact with the patients in their home. You see a different side of someone when they're sitting in their recliner with their dog on their lap versus sitting, I was an ICU nurse and an ER nurse, sitting in an ER or an ICU, it's a different dynamic that develops. So you get to know the patients on a different level in hospice because you're in, you know, we're a guest in their home when we're providing the care to
mm-hmm.
them, and their home may be their a facility. So it's, you know, it's us and our hospice aides. Same thing. They're going out into or as a guest in these facilities and patient homes to provide their care. Our chaplains, our social worker make visits out also and adjust their day depending on what the patients and family need. Some families have less needs and have a lot of things covered and talked about, and other families maybe have had a recent diagnosis and have a lot of this journey to figure out. And that's why hospice is so important, is having all the team members that can address the different needs along the way.
And I would imagine that, you know, obviously each resident or patient has a doctor that's overseeing their care and all that, but But the nurses are really the first point of contact, aren't they?
Yes, we definitely feel that we are, and our aides, and our social workers and chaplains, and, you know, when the volunteers can be in. We're the eyes for the doctors. We are the ones that see what's going on. We see changes. It may be they need more medication for pain management. We contact the physicians and tell them what our assessment is and talk about medications. We also have a pharmacist that we can call for guidance on different medications. So, again, it's truly a team approach, and our hospice aides and chaplains and social workers may call back and tell the nurse, I'm out on this visit and this is what I'm seeing. We've had them say we need to have a nurse come out, or just kind of updating you on what I see, and then the nurse can do with that information as she deems necessary. But it's such a benefit for these families to have multiple sets of eyes, multiple opinions, multiple areas of expertise. A nurse is not a social worker. A social worker is not a chaplain. And it's, you know, I've always said, coming from acute care, it's been wonderful to see this team approach work in the hospice setting.
So is the I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
As the education coordinator, how do you fit into the mix to make sure that the team members get from point A to point B every day?
Well, I'm kind of in the background. We have certain education requirements by departments of inspection and appeals by the state. We have different education requirements for our staff based on what's considered conditions of participation. So my job has been to kind of make sure all of our education is lined up in services. During COVID, I've kind of been consumed with providing all the education and guidance with that, but we aren't going to talk about that today. So kind of a lot of little pieces and parts, helping write policies based on the rules and regulations as mandated by the government. So I kind of do the education and anything else that I can do. If someone needs a document or they want a document for something, I'm pretty good at typing up a document and handing it over to them for their use. So, and a resource for some of the nurses if they have questions. Since I was a hospice primary, you know, a PRN nurse before I did the education, I have been out in the field and provided patient care. So I have some experience that I can draw upon to help them with questions.
We got about 2 minutes left. We're visiting with Connie Schutte, the education coordinator at Iowa River Hospice. Is there something that makes a nurse a better fit for a hospice home than maybe, say, just a general shift in a hospital, if there is such a thing as a general shift for a nurse?
I think anyone can become a hospice nurse, but the one thing I think is extremely important is you have to understand that each patient's journey is going to be completely different than the next person. Sometimes in the hospital, we're kind of used to point A, point B, point C, and then they move along. In hospice, there is no roadmap, and you can't expect there to be any black and white roadmap. You've got to have a huge heart, and you also have to be able to constantly meet the person and the patient where they're at. Some people have different coping mechanisms than other people. So as a hospice nurse, you really have to be able to understand where that patient's at, where that family's at, and let their journey be their journey. I love to quote Dr. Our medical director, and he always says, our job is to cushion their fall. And I think about that, and Dr. Swinton is our medical director and is the most kind, compassionate physician. And I think as a hospice nurse, if you've learned how to cushion their fall, either through medication, through holding their hand, through talking to them, and sometimes just quietly being with them, then you know our job is done.
In about 30 seconds or less, what is the thing you enjoy most about being the education coordinator there?
I think being able to provide to the staff and then ultimately to the patients more information on what they're going through. For the staff, to help them understand hospice care, medications, some of the regulations, why they have to do what they have to do. And then ultimately that filters down to providing the best patient care that we can possibly offer. A well-educated staff member is a team member that can provide to the patient and the family the education that they need along their journey.
Some great perspective, Connie. Thanks for taking the time to share with us, and we appreciate your time.
All right. You have a great day.
Thanks. You do the same. Connie Schutte, who is an RN and the education coordinator at Iowa River Hospice, our guest today on Central Iowa Today on News Talk 1230 KFJB AM and 93.9 FM.